Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org. TheWordEndures.org.
Children's Choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana, with stanza 2 of the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. Praise the One Who Blessed the Children with a Strong Yet Gentle Word. It's amazing how often Jesus talks about being blessed or blesses someone like Simon Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Or he is blessed himself, and even is asked the question by the high priest during one of his trials, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on words in the Scripture continues. The word we've been talking about with Pastor Will Wheaton last time in the Old Testament and this time in the New Testament is that word, blessed. Pastor Will Wheaton is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 50-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
We confuse happiness, contentment, maybe even, you know, just our constant state of being sated in, you know, wealthy America with being blessed, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, how many times it's really easy to say, I'm blessed, meaning everything in my life is going smoothly or wonderfully, and I'm just feeling great. And what a challenge that is then when Jesus begins unpacking what the blessedness is that comes from hanging around him. He introduces a way of blessedness that is very, very different from what people normally think of when they think of happiness. In fact, he's going to describe certain states that most people are going to say, well, I wouldn't be very happy if that were happening to me at all. And yet Jesus will pronounce those very states to actually be blessed.
The Beatitudes is the first place we want to go.
Right.
And it's really more complicated than it at first appears. Jesus is a master of rhetoric, but this goes beyond all rhetoric. He's declaring blessings on his disciples. Take us in there.
Yeah, he's speaking his blessed and his... He's the blessed one. We saw that last time, right? So I want to be clear on that. Jesus is himself the blessed one, the seed of Abraham. And he is going to speak now the blessedness of being his and belonging to him. And as he explains this, his first teaching that he's given his disciples, he is sitting down on the mount and he begins teaching his disciples. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right. A couple things to note on that right away, Todd. He starts and he ends. And if you look at the Beatitudes proper, it starts in verse 3, and it really runs all the way to the end of verse 10. Verse 11 marks a shift. He moves from those to you, and he's applying it directly to them. So really, the first and the last Beatitude are mirror images of each other. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the thing that we wouldn't be inclined to push way out in the future, the kingdom of heaven, he says, oh, no, 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 no. That's the gift that you have right now because of me, because I'm the king of the kingdom of heaven. And I've come to give you all of the good gifts that belong to that kingdom. And so he pronounces, blessed the poor in spirit and those persecuted for righteousness. And then all these others in the middle, he's going to push out way into the future. So all the other Beatitudes in the middle are actually future tense, right? They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. All that's out in the future. But then look at the states that he's described. Poverty of spirit? What is it to be poor in spirit? What is it to be a mourner? Or what is the meek? So poor in spirit, this is the person who knows that they have nothing with which to deal with God. They come before God as nothing but a beggar. Isn't that one of your favorite Luther statements? We are beggars. It is true. And this is the poor in spirit. They know they have absolutely nothing of their own that they can barter or use as some sort of leverage with God. They can only come to be given to. And Jesus says, and what they will be given is the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn, St. John Chrysostom says on this one that it means specifically those who mourn for their sins, but it, you know, it's not excluding people who mourn for the loss of their loved ones, but especially those who know that they've made a disaster of their life, who look at their lives and go, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. What a mess I've made of this, how I brought hurt to so many of these people whom God has given me to love and treasure. Blessed are the meek. Meek. People hear that, and what do they think of? Casper Milquetoast? I mean, the Bible tells you Moses is the meekest man on the face of the earth. A meek person is a person who simply trusts that God's got their back, and they don't have to avenge themselves. They leave it to God because they know that God is the one who is in charge, not them. The meek person is the opposite of the person who is self-asserting. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and righteousness, of course, the right relationship with God, they're aching for that. They want that. They want it so badly they can taste it. You know, it's a hunger. It's a thirst that fills their life. The merciful, I think we understand what that is, the people who show mercy to others. The pure in heart, that's an interesting one. Remember, the Bible teaches that the heart is purified by faith. That's what Peter preaches when he's trying to explain how the Gentiles in Cornelius' household got the Holy Spirit. He's like, God purified their hearts by faith, just as he did ours. So they are the ones who get to see God, the purified of hearts. I mean, when you hear pure in heart, you need to hear that as purified, those who've had their hearts cleansed by the Holy Spirit. Peacemakers, you know what that is. It's the opposite of somebody who's stirring up trouble between brothers, someone who actually works to let them be at peace with one another. And finally, this persecutor for righteousness, we get that. You're paying a penalty for doing the right thing, the honorable thing in the eyes of God, even though it made you unpopular with people. If you look at all of those, Todd, from start to finish, do you notice what they all are? Aren't they a portrait of him? Of Jesus himself? Wait a minute, you want to say, is he the poor in spirit? Well, what did Paul teach? Didn't he say, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we by his poverty might be made rich? He actually will stand before God with nothing because he's going to take our hell. upon himself. He is the poor in spirit. And he is the one who mourns for human sin like no one else ever mourned. He is the meek. He trusts God's going to avenge him. He is the one who hunger and thirsts for our righteousness, for our justification. He is the quintessential merciful one and the one who is pure in heart. And he is, of course, the peacemaker. And yeah, he's the one who suffers for righteousness' sake. So he describes what it's like to be in his company. And it is going to be a rough road for his disciples, right? But he said, hey, it's a blessed road. Look at where it begins and ends, with the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be in good company, he adds, when it happens to you. That's what happened to all the prophets. You'll be suffering with them so you can rejoice with them in the great reward.
I want to make sure we get this right, because you're quite correct in saying that this is Jesus' self-portrait. This is how he describes himself, with no guile whatsoever. Mm. We could not do this, but he can and does. Mm-hmm. But I don't want our listeners to think that that is the full extent of what he's saying. He is speaking to us as well, and he is extending that blessing through himself
to us.
To us.
This is the blessedness you're in for if you're hanging with me, is what he's saying. You're going to be my disciple. This is what it is to be blessed in me. And yes, every one of these comes true for us too. That becomes really, really, really important. And it's also important to notice that this form of beatitude becomes really characteristic of the New Testament as a whole. As we're going to work our way through it, you're going to see over and over and over again, beatitudes stated, you know, this declaration of blessedness that usually it might cause you to scratch your head and go, well, that's kind of not the way that I would think of what blessing is. I mean, just go through this list. We would say, blessed are the rich, right? We would say, blessed are those who don't have to cry because they've lost someone or something. Blessed are those who don't have to have trust in God about things working out for them down the road because they're working out for them now. Blessed are those who don't know what it is to hunger and thirst for righteousness because they have that righteousness. Blessed are those who, well, I guess we can all say the merciful. That's nice, but wouldn't it be nice not to have to worry about mercy, you know, you might think in your sinfulness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Wouldn't it be nice not to worry about the condition of your heart? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, peacemakers. Wouldn't it be nice not to worry about making peace with people? Wouldn't it be nice just to be able to do my own thing and let the chips fall where they may? That's how the world thinks. If you think about the way the world thinks, Jesus basically takes it all and turns it on its head and says, you got the wrong idea of what blessedness is. When you hang with me, this is the blessedness we'll share together.
It's really amazing how often, especially in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is declaring blessings.
Yeah.
How much benediction there is in Matthew's gospel.
There is a ton of it. There is a ton of it. Of course, these sort of start off his teaching. I mean, Matthew has five great discourses, sort of mirroring the five books of Moses. And he kicks it off with this one as a solid reminder, I am the seed of Abraham who came to bring blessing. Let me tell you what the blessing I have come to bring is. So he's, you know, laying it out.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. When we come back, should we see this beatitude as a bookend to the Genesis blessing? Stay tuned. Church and state, communion fellowship, the church year, baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick and mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support, through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We're talking about the words of Scripture today, the word blessed in the New Testament. Will, picking up on something you said before the break, should we see this beatitude from Jesus here as parallel to God's first blessing of all creation?
Absolutely. He begins with the blessing, right? The first thing you learn about God is he creates and then blesses in the creation. He blesses the animals, and then he blesses, if you remember, especially the man and the woman.
In Matthew 11, there's an odd one. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. What does it mean to be offended by Jesus?
This is a great text. Remember John the Baptist just sitting in prison, and as he's sitting there, he's got a problem. He's got these disciples of his that are just hanging there like burgers on a dog. And he's like, how do I get them attached to where they need to go? So he sends them with a question to Jesus. And the question is, so are you the one who is supposed to come, or are we supposed to look for another? And I mean, yeah, there are people who really do believe John was in a crisis of faith here and didn't actually believe. At this point, almost all the fathers, actually, I think all the fathers, and Martin Luther and the great reformers, they were all like, John was in no crisis of faith. You know, teachers don't just ask questions for the sake of obtaining information. They ask questions to help their students, their pupils, think things through. So the question that is sent by John to the disciples is one to help the disciples get who Jesus is. What did they hear from Jesus? He's like, well, why don't you go and tell John the things that you're hearing and seeing? What are those things? Well, let's see. The sick are being healed. The lame are being made whole. Blind are getting their eyes opened. Deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised up. And the poor are having good news preached to them, which is Jesus' way of saying, anybody read Isaiah lately? And once that's clear, he sends them back. And he says at the end, blessed is the one who is not offended at me. I don't think it's aimed at John. I think it's aimed at the disciples of John who wanted their master to be the big one. Remember, they complained, hey, he's baptizing more people than you are now. He's getting bigger. And John was like, yeah, he has to get bigger and I have to get smaller. So Jesus sends the word back for them to share with John. Jesus says, blessed is the one who doesn't stumble or doesn't fall away over me, offended by me, who, as though we were a stumbling stone.
Again, in Matthew 13, he is pronouncing benediction because the disciples are getting in on something that even the prophets, they saw it, but only from a distance.
They welcomed it from afar. Yeah. I mean, they Isaiah describes everything that happens in Jesus' ministry in such detail that the church has always regarded him as being the fifth evangelist, because it's all there. So he describes, you know, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the deaf, dumb shall shout for joy. He makes it really clear that it's all going to happen when Messiah comes. But the disciples are seeing it all happen around them. And Jesus pronounces this blessing to them. He's like, you know, oh man, blessed are your eyes. They see this stuff. Blessed are your ears. They're hearing God in the flesh talking and making promises. And he says, truly I say to you, many prophets, many righteous people, they longed to see what you see, and they didn't get to see it, and to hear what you hear, and they didn't get to hear it. Yeah, we're even told that the angels long to look into these things. Jesus is like, would you guys realize what you've got when the King of the Kingdom is standing here among you all? This is an amazing gift.
And yet it's not for their admonition, but for their blessing.
Yeah.
He's not scolding them. He's blessing them.
No, he's telling them, you guys got to open your eyes and see this. This is so amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
When he says that the prophets and righteous people long to see, can we hear in that they knew what was coming?
No, of course, yeah.
They knew that the Christ would come in flesh and stand on earth and give his life as a ransom for many. They were just too early to witness it for themselves.
Think of Abraham and the question that Isaac posed him, right? You know, Dad, I know you're getting a little old. Are you getting forgetful? I mean, we got the fire, we got the wood. Did you forget the sacrifice? And Abraham saying, God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And then later on, calling that place, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to that sacrifice. But remember, he puts it in the future. The Lord will provide, because his son at that time was spared. But Jesus would say later, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. It's talking about that. It's talking about, there is going to come a day when the Lord will provide the other sacrifice. And this time there will be no angel staying a hand. This time the beloved son will die. But this is what will set us free. Yes, he longed to see that day. And not just Abraham. I mean, you go through all of the prophecies and prototypes throughout the Old Testament. They all point toward this.
In Matthew chapter 16, Peter gets a unique blessing from Jesus.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, this is very famous words in the confession. Remember, he had taken them aside and asked, so tell me who people say I am. And they were spieling off the answers one after the other. And it was just like, interesting. Now tell me who you say that I am. Who do y'all say that I am? And Simon Peter comes back with the answer for them all. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is his great confession. And church celebrates this on the 18th of January every year. But when Peter makes his confession, Jesus replies to this with a benediction, I think it's the only time that we get a specific benediction of Jesus on an individual person. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I suppose most of our listeners are familiar with how Rome, I think, greatly abuses this passage. If you walk into the great dome of St. Peter's, you see it written around the rim, Davo clavis regnis celorum, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But I think that is missing the boat here. He said, you are Petros, and on this Petra, I'm going to build my church. On this stuff, that is the stuff of my confession, your confession, I'm going to build my church. How do we know it's not Peter's person? Well, we know because of what happens next. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. And the next thing, what's the next thing Jesus says to him, Dot?
Right after this, he calls him Satan.
Yeah, get behind me, Satan. Wait a minute. Is he blessed, Simon, son of John, blessed with this beautiful revelation from the Father? Or is he, Satan, the one who gives voice to Satan. When he would turn Jesus from the cross, that's the voice of Satan, even though Peter's speaking it. It's not Peter's person. It's Peter's confession, given him by the Father in heaven, which is what makes him be blessed here. And we're blessed with Peter when we share this same confession, that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of the living God.
In Matthew 21, we have the people speaking a blessing at Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem.
Are they speaking a blessing on him, or are they just singing Psalm 118? It's hard to pull it out, right? They are singing the words of Psalm 118, but they're addressing them to Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the one who is sent from the Lord to bring blessing to the children of men, to every family of the earth. That's who's riding into Jerusalem. He's the Son of David.
We're talking with Pastor Will Wheaton about the word blessed in the New Testament. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. A question for the other side of the break. God is the one who's blessed in the Old Testament, or the blessed one in the Old Testament. Here it is popping up again, and it's not only applied to God, but also to his son. We'll find out what that means next.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. It's our series on the words of Scripture. We're talking about the word blessed in the New Testament. Will, you pointed out in our previous conversation that primarily God is the one who is blessed in the Old Testament. And here it is in the verse we're talking about, popping up again in the New Testament.
Applied specifically to the one who comes in the name of the Lord, that is the one sent from God. He is the one who is then also called blessed, because he is the blessed one of God. We'll hear before we get too much further that the high priest is actually going to use that word blessed to describe God himself. But Jesus specifically is the one who is blessed. He comes from God as the blessed one. He comes into the world to bring the blessing of God to all humanity, to restore to the creation itself the good blessing under which it was first created.
Then those words are repeated in a different context entirely in Matthew 23. What is that context?
And that's really cool, because in Matthew 23, Jesus is, he's just about done. His ministry is just about done publicly. He's got a few more things to say privately to his disciples, but his public teaching is coming to an end, and he tells them, you are not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Like, wait a minute. We've already had Palm Sunday. What is this? Is the second coming. He's making it really clear. You're not going to see me again until that moment. I'm withdrawing from your visible sight. Remember, he did not appear openly to many of the people. He did to the 12 and to some of the women, and of course to 500 brethren, Paul says at one time, and to Paul. But after the resurrection, he did not openly appear like he did in the temple when he was teaching. And he's like, that open appearance is not going to happen again until I appear in glory. And when I do, you'll be crying out, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
These words are picked up liturgically, and they have a very important spot to occupy in the liturgy of the Lord's Supper. Tell us about that.
Yeah, honestly, I've been persuaded for a long time that the old Lutheran Swedish liturgy is actually more accurate on this than what we normally experience. But it's associated with the Lord's coming to us in his body and blood. And so in the Swedish liturgy, they actually fall right after the consecration. So right after the bread and wine have been made to be by the promise of Jesus, his true body and his true blood for our forgiveness. Then the people cry out to him, blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In our liturgy and in most liturgies of Christendom, they just immediately precede that. So he's coming to do those things for you, to save you. But we cry out in greeting to the one who is coming to you in his body and blood, but who has not yet come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
In Matthew 24, Jesus is engaging in kind of a mini parable about his second coming, and there's a blessing for the servant who is found just doing his job.
Yeah, I mean, Peter's like asking, so Lord, are you saying this to everybody? Are you just saying this to us? We're not really clear. And so Jesus is like, well, you know, so who is that faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. So he's saying to his disciples, I've given you a task to do. Your task is to give out the food of my household. I'm sending you out to give the food, the bread of life, to the world. It will make them my children. If I find you doing that when I come, blessed are you. Blessed are you for doing what I sent you to do.
What does it mean there? And it's a little beatitude-y. He will set him over all of his possessions.
Well, he says that the disciples, particularly, right, that they're going to be sitting on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then St. Paul will even push it to the point in Ephesians chapter 2, where he'll talk about us being seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Christ came to literally give everybody who's listening to us today, you too, Todd, all of us, everything that's his. He came to deliver it to us. He will set us over all his possessions. In other words, we're not just his servants. We're going to end up being his co-heirs. This is huge in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, right? Chapter 8. We are heirs with him of everything that he won for us.
Then in the often mislabeled parable of the sheep and goats, another second coming simile goes no farther than a simile, because it is exactly what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. He pronounces a blessing upon the sheep.
Yeah,
what does he say?
He tells them, you know, this is going to happen. This is what's going to happen. The king is going to say to those on his right, he's the sheep, if you will. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, from the time the world was laid down, before the world was laid down. There's this kingdom which has been prepared for you in me. And so you are blessed of my Father because you have the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom prepared from before the world began.
This gives us an occasion to talk about the alternative to that. To the blessed, he says, come. To those who will receive the curse of eternal damnation, he says, depart.
Depart into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, which is just really important. The fire is not prepared for human beings. There are human beings who will end up there, but it is not God's will that they end up there. He's very clear that the fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. And he describes, you know, I came to you, there was no mercy in your life. You showed me no mercy. The description of those who have been blessed by my Father, they're shown to be heirs of the kingdom by the fact that they, you could tell they hung around with the Blessed One. His mercy rubbed off.
Mark's gospel has but a single reference to this word, and you had just mentioned it a moment ago.
Yeah. We shouldn't say it's the only mention. I skipped all the ones that Matthew already had.
Okay.
Right. I just started with Matthew because that was the easiest.
In Mark's gospel, it is the high priest, as you mentioned before, that speaks this word.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. He says in verse 61 of chapter 14, but he, Jesus, remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? What did you say before? He's the Blessed One. He, the Father, is the Blessed One. And so the son here is, you know, are you the son of the one who is all blessed? Are you that one? And of course, Jesus is going to sort of prevaricate, you say so. But his answer is still that he, everything in the gospel proclaims he is that son. He is that son of the blessed one, bringing that blessing down into human flesh and blood.
I'm struck by the difference, because essentially the high priest is asking Jesus if he is who Peter confessed him to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And to Peter, who confesses this with faith, there's blessing. To the high priest, who asks in unbelief, he knows who the Christ is. The Christ is the Son of God. He may well even know that Jesus is the Christ, but he doesn't want to believe it. And he gets whatever you say from Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus doesn't have anything pleasant to say to any of them. I mean, when he's before them and they strike him, this always, this fascinates me. He's like, if I said something wrong, tell me what I said wrong. But if I said something that's right, why did you hit me? I mean, I really think there's puzzlement. I mean, it's not defiance.
It's complete like, innocence.
It's complete innocence, exactly. It's like, why would you hit somebody who just speaks truth to you?
He doesn't know what it is to be guilty because he is not guilty.
Right, right, right. I mean, and we totally get the, you know, the snark. There's no snark in him. I mean, we need to learn to hear Jesus' words snarkless. You know, they really are not filled with that kind of attitude. And so I think when he doesn't give an answer, a lot of times he's simply just not going to say, because his words are never useless. He always wants to speak words that are for the salvation of human beings. And when he cannot speak a word for that, he's silent.
It's our series, The Words of Scripture, today, Blessed in the New Testament. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. They're published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Picking up on that notion of complete innocence, maybe this is how we should hear the reproaches of Good Friday. Honest questions from a completely guileless and innocent God. Stay tuned.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Sanctifying your housework with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Join us for the divine service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages
empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, August the 12th, our series, The Words of Scripture, continues with the word blessed in the New Testament. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Well, before the break, we were talking about this kind of interrogation that Jesus undergoes in front of the high priest and how he asks quite innocently, why do you strike me? Is this maybe the way we should hear the reproaches of Good Friday, as honest questions from a completely guileless and innocent God?
Yeah. Oh, I think that opens up the reproaches to not be the, like I like to describe the Yiddish mama. It's not that kind of an attitude
keeping
running
the
through
guilt.
Them. Right.
It's not, their genuine questions.
They're like, what more could I have done for you? I mean, tell me. So yeah, I think that when you hear them that way, it really opens up. It opens them up in a brand new way.
What's happening in Luke chapter 1 with this word?
So we're there in the account of the visitation. The Blessed Virgin has, and notice we usually say that, right? She has that blessed attached to her name, the Blessed Virgin. Where does that come from? Luke 1, verses 42 to 45. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and when her greeting cry, she cries something at the door, and immediately the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb does a somersault for joy. And so then, filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth opens up her mouth, and she cries out, "Blessed are you," this is speaking to Mary, "blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The fruit, the baby in her womb is blessed. He is the blessed one. "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord," this is why he's blessed, because he's the one who is in Mary's womb, is the one that Elizabeth calls her Lord. "Why should the mother of my Lord come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Todd, I can never hear that last line without seeing her staring down the old man in the corner for his unbelief. It's like, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment from what was told to her by the Lord, unlike you, you old goat. And so this beautiful picture of the blessedness of Mary, she's blessed among women. She is blessed in, above all in this, that she is the mother of the Lord, but blessed in believing that when the Lord told her something, it was true and that there would be a fulfillment of it. And that's a blessedness of Mary, that last blessedness that every Christian shares, because we too believe there will be a fulfillment of the things which have been told us from the Lord.
We share that with her, but we do not share the first two Mm-mm. pronouncements of blessing with her. That is unique entirely to the Virgin Mary, which raises kind of a thorny question for us who think God's got to be fair to everybody and give everybody exactly the same thing. He does promise these individuals blessings unique to them in how he has used them and employed their lives. And he makes the same kind of various blessings for us in eternal life. It took me a long time to come to grips with this, that the blessings that he has planned for us in eternal life are going to be unique
to
each of
us. They're not equal. Yeah. This is really huge. Grace is equal. Grace is equal, but the rewards of eternal life are not equal, and they never have been, and they won't be. If I can put it like this, God is not American. we want everybody. We want this level playing field. It's like, that's not the way it is. God is hierarchical. That's just how the scriptures reveal him. And in truth, there's a sense in which that reaches down into the very depths of the Trinity. you know, that with the relationship of Father and Son and Spirit. But the way this works itself out in the world is that as we use the gifts that God gives us and we use them faithfully, God chooses to reward those things. So there, when you come into the kingdom of heaven, it may very well be, Todd, that you will be clothed in far greater glory than this poor sinner sitting across from you today. And the cool thing is, when you get to the kingdom of heaven, I'll be looking at that and not going, well, it's not fair. Todd's shining a little brighter than I am. I'll be saying, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? God, praise be to you for the faithful way he used the gifts that you gave him in this life. I love how he shines. Thank you. You're not even going to be paying attention to yourself that way.
We can't escape the natural covetousness, even when we anticipate the blessings of eternal life.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, can I picture myself actually behaving like that? It's like, well, the Bible tells me it's going to be that way because there's going to be nothing left but love. So that's the way it's going to be. But is that something that I can sort of imagine my way into? Not so easily.
In Luke chapter 6, there is a mini Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. What happens in this section is very typical of Luke, where it's not, if I can put it, spiritualized. Everything he says here actually just runs with the rugged, raw descriptions of sorrows of this age. So, blessed are you poor, yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, you're going to get satisfied. Blessed are you who are crying now, you're going to laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and when they revile you and when they spurn your name as evil because of my sake, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice, leap for joy. Your reward is great in heaven. The fathers, their fathers did the same thing to the prophets. So this blessedness that he pronounces here is, like I said, more earthly and rugged. He's just looking right at the earthly circumstances and saying, hey, when you don't have enough food, you're still blessed because you're going to get fed in the kingdom.
It makes me wonder how often Jesus repeated the set of words or something like them.
Yeah.
We tend to think of it, well, he said it there and then he said it there, but maybe he was constantly talking about
it. It was one of his themes. Sure. I mean, you know, you have a sermon that you have or an illustration that you use in a sermon. You're going to use it more than once if it's a good illustration. So with Jesus, when he speaks these Beatitudes, you're going to hear him do it a lot more than once. In fact, it's kind of cool. I don't know. We probably won't get to it today. But the book of Acts records a beatitude from the lips of Jesus that isn't in the Gospels. But when you look at it and hear it and think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, we know exactly who said that. You know, I should also add in these beautiful Beatitudes from Luke are juxtaposed immediately in his gospel with the cursings, right? You know, woe to you who, and he goes through and basically describes the opposite situations. And he's going to be like, you won't have anything. What are you rich now? He runs down the opposites and says, you know, if you're laughing now, it is not going to end up well for you.
And it's not karma. He's speaking to faith and to unbelief.
He is.
Woe to you, no matter how rich you are right now, if you don't believe in me.
Right, right. And we also can say he is speaking then in divine justice. He's saying, there is a judge. There is an accountability. Be at peace, people of God. Be at peace. Your sufferings have not gone unnoticed by heaven. That's really at the heart of, I think, why he leaves these in this teaching in this more ragged form, that we've similarly, I mean, it just becomes a big theme of Luke's whole presentation of the gospel itself, that he is all about feeding the hungry and sending the rich empty away, as Mary would sang in her Magnificat.
Back to Mary again, there's a reference to her in Luke chapter 11 by a woman in the crowd who cries out with reference to Jesus' mother. How does Jesus respond?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite passages because of how people sometimes, I think, misuse it. So the woman hearing him teach, she's just like, you know, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. And isn't that what Elizabeth said? I mean, that was the first blessedness of Mary, that she's the mother of the Lord, right? I mean, so... And yet Jesus comes back with, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. when he says that, you have to think about everything the Gospel of Luke has taught you about Mary. And what do you remember Mary did over and over and over again? She kept the words that were spoken to her, the words of the shepherds, right? Mary kept all these things and pondered them. The words of Jesus when she didn't understand, when in the temple, you know, son, why did you treat us this way? And he answered in words that she just didn't get, but she didn't let the words go. She kept them, she held on to them, and she pondered them in her heart. And Jesus is like, hey, you really want to know what's great about my mommy? The thing that's great about my mommy is not that she gave birth to me. The thing that's great about my mommy is when God says something to her, she won't let go of it. And you know what? That's a greatness you can have too.
We're just going to stick a toe into Luke's parabolic material here and go to Luke chapter 12 in the last few minutes of this conversation and pick it up in Luke 14 next time, if we could, Will. But what do we find there in Luke 12 in this word blessed?
Well, it's another one of these parabolic beatitudes, if you will, right? Jesus tells his disciples, stay dressed for action. Stay dressed for action has implications of Passover, right? You know, with your loins girded. And keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. And here's the beatitude. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. And Todd, you know how the church has always taken this to be not merely a reference to the last day, but to the astonishing truth that as we are wakeful for the Lord who comes to us under the means of grace, where he promises to be for us, he literally comes as our servant. He comes to serve us. Who is greater, the one who sits at table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves. He comes as the servant of sinners to take their sins away by his blood, to give them his very body to be the pledge of their resurrection and eternal life. He still serves sinners, and that's their blessedness as they watch for him.
With only about a minute here, Will, that's really where we seek here and now, until he returns, the blessings that are all piled up and promised to us so far in the New Testament at his table.
Sure. All the sacraments participate in this reality, that they're not just bringing the past into the present, but they actually grab hold of the future and they bring it to us as a present gift for us to enjoy. So in the absolution, what are you hearing? You're hearing the verdict of the last day, not guilty, my child, you are mine. In baptism, what is it? It's your resurrection from the dead, right? Your participation in Christ. And similarly, at the table, you are certainly receiving the marriage feast of the Lamb, hidden, but it's really there. The future is there and given to you now, already for you to enjoy. So yeah, we watch for the second coming. At the table we pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, and he does, still in this hidden way.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
If you appreciate Pastor Whedon's insights on Scripture, be sure to listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org, on the LPR app, or on your favorite podcast provider. A daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Molly Hemingway is with us right after the break. We're going to get an update on the November elections, beginning with the, well, is it a surprise? Doesn't sound like much of a surprise. Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris to be his running mate. Church and State, Communion Fellowship, The Church Year, Baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Every knee will bow then. Every tongue will confess the things you already say and sing here in his congregation.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
And peace will be as it is even this day upon you, the Israel of God. Amen.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.